You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Let's begin to step into the scriptures this morning. You know, when we talk about the seed that God gives us in our time, in our talents, in our tithes, and our finances, you know, it's not the quality of the seed. It's the quality of the seed, not the size of the seed, that determines its fruitfulness. And around these thoughts this morning, this is what I want to give to you. We talk about the quality of the seed. The quality of the seed is found in who the seed provider is. And so often we get focused on, I need more time, more talents, I need more finances, and then I'll be able to give more of myself and every part of myself. I want to encourage you, you don't need more. You need to recognize the quality of what you do have, because it's the provider and it's the quality of his provision that matters around what you do. And I want to encourage you, as we step into this teaching, that we're going to be learning how to sow with faith. And when we sow with faith, this is what it does. It brings growth to the seed. When we sow with faith, it brings growth to the seed. And we're going to look to Matthew 25 today. And this is the parable of the three servants. And it's a powerful passage of scripture. We're going to read through this entire passage this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, open them up. If you've got your app, open it up. If you don't, look to the screen this morning. This is what it says from verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion of their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. It's pretty significant to double what had actually been provided for him. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and he called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I've earned 5 more." The master, full of praise, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." How good's that? Master's so impressed with the diligence and the stewardship of one of his employees. It's like, "You've done so well. Let's celebrate. It's time to have a party. Let's use one of those bags." Amen. Are we in the right spot? Yes, we are. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Isn't that, that's what we want to hear from our employers. Amen. "You've done so well in what I've called you to do." That's what we want to hear in our families. We want to hear from God. Our Father, you've done so well. Let's celebrate. Moving on. Then the servant with 1 bag came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." Wow. But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit the money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest back." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they were given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." We'll stop there. I want to encourage us with this passage today. And I'm going to do a little bit of teaching around this because there's so much in this that when you begin to understand what's really going on here, mind-blowing moments when you truly begin to understand this. See, in other translations, it says that so that the servant was given 5 talents, the other servant was given 2 talents, and the last servant was given 1 talent. And sometimes you may have read that and you're like, a talent? Awesome, like guitar? Like what? See, a talent is actually a measure of weight, a unit of weight. That's what a talent actually is. And so when we read here, he's given 5 bags. He's been given 1 bag, weighs somewhere around, it's been a long time, somewhere around 20 to 40 kilos of weight in 1 bag. To put it in perspective, potentially that's around about 6,000 coins of silver in 1 bag. Your minds are going to get a little bit more blown in a moment. 1 coin was a day's wages. Oh, hang on a second. So a 2019 equivalent, a minimum daily wage is somewhere around $150. So 1 talent, 1 bag of 6,000 coins is somewhere around between $820,000 and $900,000 in today's money. Wow, right? Bit more perspective. 2 bags, 1.8 million. 5 bags, 4.5 million. Significant. Significant. So when we look at what that 1 bag represented, it's somewhere around 16 and a half years of income, of wages. 32 years for 2 bags, 82 years for 5 bags. Significant. Significant. And I want to encourage you that the master, the employer, saw his employees as highly capable individuals. You don't give someone who's kind of a little bit capable $900,000. No, the master, the employer, saw these individuals as highly capable individuals, that they had gathered the ability according to portion of their abilities, it says early in the scriptures. And I want to encourage you with everything that God gives you, with your time, your talents, and your finances, God sees you as someone who can be highly capable. And even as I say that, there's some people say, oh, I don't see myself as that person. We'll get to that in a moment. We're going to get to that. We're going to help you transition from being someone who maybe doesn't see themselves as highly capable to someone who is highly capable and can learn to be an amazing steward. Amen? Amen. Because that's who God's called you to be. Highly capable to take these multiplication of wages, these years of wages, and multiply them double, seen as highly capable. And I want to encourage you that when we look at these scriptures, I've got 3 quick points for you. When we look at these passages of scripture in verse 24, if we can have verse 24 up on the screen. See, this young employee was looking at what the master had given him. And in verse 24 it says, then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came forward and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose the money, so I hid it. And I want to encourage you that this speaks to how we see the provider. Do you see the provider as dictator or provider? Someone who you should be scared of, who you hide from, who you hide your money. You know, I've worked in places where I've seen employees who are kind of like just, they're getting paid, but they kind of skulk around the edges and hide behind. It's like, I'll just sit here for a bit. And See, people like that, they don't understand that God is actually their provider. God has given them a job because God's providing for them. And when they're there, they need to believe that it's like, this employee is the person who pays me the money, but God ultimately has put me in this place. So I will serve my employer the same way that I'll actually serve God. The second quick point is, this speaks to our heart to do with well with what the master gives us in verse 29. And I want to encourage you, are you scared and fearful or privileged to operate and outwork his riches that he actually provides for you? And the third quick point there is, it speaks to that God has plans and responsibility for us all in verse 29. See, what we do with the time, the talent, or the treasure that God gives us depends on how he redeems it and releases us into the next stage of his will for our lives. You do well with it? He wants to release you into the next stage of what he has for you. But how faithful you are in stewarding it depends on whether you get more responsibilities and more opportunities around your time, talent, and treasure, or whether or not you just stay in the same space. You know, often when we stay in the same space too long, we don't even stay there. We even begin to sometimes start sliding backwards. And you may have seen that with people in your workplace where when you came in, you were the underling and they had that position. And then I believe that God's got me here. I believe that God's called me into this vocation. I believe that God's called me to be a beacon of light here. And you serve your employer well. You do so well for them. And you bump, 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 equal with the person that you were an underling to. And you keep with the same heart and the same spirit because you're not prepared just to sit there. And bump, bump, bump. And then all of a sudden the employer's like, person's been hovering in that spot for an awful long time. And there's all these people that I'm bringing in who are just pursuing. It's like, bump, underling, bump. You've seen it before, right? You've seen it in your own workplaces. I want to encourage you. The same principle goes through everything we're involved in. Oh, I just want to encourage you. God has so much more for you. Don't get comfortable in sitting in the space that you're not called to sit on a pew. This is where you come to be equipped with the word of God and go out into the world to be a beacon of light on the mission. Amen? That's what God has called us to do and be. And there is an identity that God has for you and I, and he calls us into that identity when we're saved, and you're elevated to the rank of sons and daughters. Amen? Adopted by God the Father as his own children. And he calls you And now you have access to this wisdom, and you have access to this understanding. You have access to this discernment through the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you. It's up to you to engage it. It's up to you to engage. Say, Holy Spirit, release the gift of wisdom. Release the gift of discernment when it comes to making good decisions around my tithe and my talents and my finances, my treasure. Give me those gifts because I want to do amazing with it. He called his three servants together, and understand this, if the master is prepared to put his trust in his employees, God is prepared to put trust in you with what he's given you. Sometimes, oh, maybe one day I'll be in this space where I feel like God trusts me. At salvation, he adopted you as his sons and daughters. At that very moment, the same trust that he has towards his son, he has the same trust over you. Does he want to see you grow in certain things, to get better at being a steward, to be better at having wisdom and discernment, and what moves should I make here? Yeah, he wants to see you grow better at that. And we're forward-facing towards that. God hasn't called you to hide or bury your gifts, hasn't called you to hide or bury your time and your treasure and your finance. He's called you to invest yourself in the kingdom wherever you are, amen? You may find yourself at different times asking, so what do I have? I've only got one talent, or I've only got one bag of coins, one skill. I've only got one thing. I just want to encourage you. One is enough. One is enough. One is enough to do something of significance. See, when you learn to invest the one, God can redeem and multiply it. When you learn to invest the one skill, the one talent, the one gift, the one treasure that God's given you, he will multiply it. He can redeem it in Jesus' name. Learn with the one, and the multiplication of trust will follow. Amen. But I don't know how. I don't know how to do it. Maybe you're echoing that right now. So I just don't know how to do it. I don't know how to steward. I don't know how to invest. I was never taught. That's true for many people in this room. They weren't taught how to be good stewards of finances and time. And maybe you weren't taught that at home. Maybe you didn't get taught it at school. When I went to school, there was no such thing as budgeting. Amen. Like, it was like hard maths. And if you didn't get that, it was like, well, do something else. Amen. See, the servant with one talent. I want to encourage you. I've got one talent. I don't know how to use it. I've got one lot of finances. I've got one gift. I've got one treasure. I've got this amount of time. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do with it. See, the servant, the employee, had one talent. But he had two servants around him who knew how. He wasn't alone. There were two other people around him who knew how to exercise the gifts of investing finance, who knew how to exercise the gift of stewarding those finances well, who understood how to exercise their time to be able to do that well. I want to encourage you. They had learned from someone. The other two employees, they had learned from someone. There was a humility in their life. They were teachable. They were prepared to be taught. They'd watched someone. They'd pushed past the feelings of insignificance or embarrassment of not being able to budget or steward and use the finances that God gave them. You know, maybe they'd gone and signed up for a course, or maybe they went to a peer who they could see was exercising those skills and those talents. It's like, teach me the skills I need to be able to exercise my gifts and my time and my talents and my treasure. And I want to be able to do it well. I want to execute the biblical principles that God has given to each and every single believer. I want to learn how to do that. And maybe you find yourself in the same place as that one employee. It's like, I just don't even know how. So you've just kind of gone, please, no one put focus attention. Don't ask me about my budget. Don't ask me about my credit card. Don't ask me about my finances. Don't ask me about why I feel like I've got no time in the week. You're hiding yourself, not just your finances. You're hiding yourself out of the feelings of insignificance or embarrassment. The two who learned to do it well, they learned from someone, and it was probably their employer. They watched him, the shrewdness around how to actually do business well and how to grow what he actually had. They watched. And I want to encourage you, there are people who sit in this church right now who are amazing with their stewardship, who are amazing with their budgeting, who are amazing with the budgeting of their time and their talents and their finances. They've found the exact place where God has called them to sit in that, and they exercise it so well. And I want to encourage you, if you're good at that, I want to encourage you to stop being quiet about that. I'm not talking about saying, oh, I've got so much money, look at me. No. I'm amazing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking with all humility, there are people in this house who need your gift. On the other side of that, if you're the example of the one employee and you're like, I just don't even know what to do, it's time to stop being quiet about that. You need to actually find some of your peers in this place who do it amazing, and you need to begin to learn from them. Early next year, we're going to be running some money courses as a church as well, and teaching people how to budget. And we're so blessed to have Phil and Sally in the church, and they're going to be involved in actually helping that come to pass as well. And you guys are okay with that, right? No. We've talked about this. And it's a gift. It's a gift that's on their life as a family. And I truly believe that gift is going to spill over into our church, and people are going to begin to walk in a way in their time and their talents and their finances like they never have before, because you're being deliberate about it. You're choosing to actually learn from somebody who's gone before you, and then you're going to be someone who spills that over to the people around as well. God has not called his people to be people in lack. God has not called his people to be people who don't steward. He's called his people to be like the two employees here. It's like, I'm going to take what you've given me and I'm going to steward it so well. I'm going to do so well for you, God, that it's going to spill over and multiply. Amen. See, the master looked at all three servants and believed that they were all capable. And the truth of the matter is they all were. But the one who, the proportion of his abilities maybe were lacking a little bit. All he needed to do was say, hey, what did you do with yours? What did you do with yours? I invested it here, and here. All right, I'm going to do that. These guys had proven ability and proven capability. And the truth of the matter is that the one individual had potential, but he just needed to get some more information. He called them to sow and invest themselves and not to hide it. And God looks at all of us and he's like, he has called us entirely capable. And he believes that we can execute the will of the Father. And perhaps we're at different stages, but we're entirely capable of executing or learning to execute amazing stewardship, to extend the Father's kingdom and extend our responsibility and our opportunity to do what we do with our time and what we can do with our skills and what we can do with our finances. You are called to sow and invest yourselves and not hide your skills and not hide your talents and not hide your finances, but to sow where God calls you to sow, amen. You are called and you are capable in Jesus' name. So God, you are called and you are capable. You truly are, just as the team comes this morning. You are called and you are capable. It's time to ask some other people, so how do I get more capable? How do I get more able to steward what God has given me? I want to encourage you as we all walk this journey together that we're just been focusing on this for a couple of weeks now, or months since the beginning of now Future Expansion, but focusing on this message. I just want to encourage you, the greater the trust, the greater the responsibility. We look at those three servants. The greater the trust, that the employer had so much trust in the one that he gave five to, so he gave him a greater responsibility. The greater responsibility, the greater the opportunity. And so for every single one of us, the greater the trust, the greater the responsibility. The greater the responsibility, the greater the opportunity. God's stewardship that he has for you, the way you exercise your stewardship, watch what begins to happen as you exercise this. Now, there are many people right now in our church who can testify to this. They've seen God do it in their own time, with their own skills and talents, and with their finances. Because they've exercised, God, I'll trust you with this. God, I truly understand that this is not mine, this is yours, and you've given it to me, and I'm going to take care of it, and I'm going to grow it, whether it's gifting, skills, talents, finances, whatever it is. It's like, God, I thank you that you've done this. I'm going to do so well with it, God. You've given me the skills, and I've learned from other people who have gone before me, and I'm going to apply the same biblical principles to it. And when you're ready to come and actually take it from me, and you're actually ready to multiply, to take what's been multiplied, this is my worship to you. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to actually join in the commission with you, God. This, what a privilege. See how the heart begins to change. You get it? Can you feel that this morning? See, we're called to use our trust and our responsibility and our opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. This is why. This message, this parable, we are called to use the trust that we've been given, to use our responsibility and face up to our opportunities to extend the kingdom of God. This is why we're here on planet Earth, amen? It's why we exist. When I talk about the kingdom of God, I'm talking about big kingdom. What do I mean by that? That all the hearts of all mankind will be redeemed to know Jesus. That's the commission that we join with, amen? God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Everything you entrust us with, God, we thank you. I want to encourage you. Choose the miracle. Choose the miracle. Two employees chose the miracle. And if you find yourself, maybe you've been Maybe you've been in the same place as that one employee. I just want to encourage you with this. Choose faith over fear. Choose faith over fear. God has called you to choose faith over fear. Can it be scary at times? Yes. Yes. Surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you. Don't isolate yourself and go and bury and hide yourself. Surround yourselves with encouragement. Choose faith over fear. And lastly, put faith and action into the opportunity that stands before you. So we're talking about miracle offering right now, but in every area of your life, every area where God has placed you, put faith and action into the opportunity that presents before you. Amen. And this one last thing that will blow your mind this morning. Matthew 25:23. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount." Hang on, what? "You've been faithful in handling this small amount." It's like, you gave me $1.8 million. You gave me $4.5 million. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. See, this passage of scripture here, this is Jesus telling a parable. You think that's there by chance? That is not there by chance. God wants you to understand. We look at that and it's like, whoa, whoa, wow. What Jesus is saying to us, if we believe what that's about, what the master is saying to us, if we believe that that's small, watch what he's about to do. As you are steward-like in those small things, watch what he's actually going to do on the other side of it. Watch your influence and your responsibility and the opportunities grow as you're faithful in those small things. Amen? That's cause for celebration, I think. So just as we come to the end of the service, I don't want to speak any longer. I've taken enough time this morning. But this is us. See, there's rockets on the screen, amen? We're literally launching. If you haven't drawn the parallel yet, we are literally launching our Miracle Offering Sunday for September 22nd. And I just want you to understand that this is us together taking ground. We talk about where are you and where has God called us to be and how are we going to get there? This is how. But each of us rising up into the stewardship that God has called us to operate in and putting faith in the opportunities that come. Amen? Amen. Just as we close our eyes today, you may be in this room right now, maybe watching online. I just pray that the scriptures have ministered to you today about who God has called you to be. This is part of your identity in Jesus. Part of your identity in Jesus, to be so steward-like, exercise stewardship around the kingdom. This is who God has called you to be. It's your identity in Jesus' name. Maybe some people in this room right now, so I hear what you're saying and I like it. I hear what you're saying. It's like, this is good. I now understand why you rally around what you rally around because of what Jesus has done. But I don't know him personally. This is what I truly believe, that if you're in this room right now and you don't know Jesus personally, if you're watching online right now or at a later time, that God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross, rise again on the third day for the forgiveness of your sins and to restore you into this beautiful, life-giving relationship with him. The good things that he has prepared for you and planned for you long ago, that is your inheritance. Each and every single one of you is your inheritance. If you don't know him, it's your inheritance that he wants to release to you. So even as you're in this place with your eyes closed, you're like, I want it. I want to know Jesus personally. I want a relationship with Jesus personally. I want to step into everything that he has for me, into salvation, into freedom, into hope, into believing that my now and my future can be amazing, that the path that I'm on right now doesn't have to be my path, that God has a new path for me. God has a new way for me to walk in freedom. So as your eyes are closed, if that's you, I want to invite you to, on the count of three, to say, raise up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to know Jesus personally. Once you put your hand up, you can put it back down. So on the count of three, one, two, three, if that's you, raise your hand right now. You want salvation. You want to know Jesus personally. Yeah, this is awesome. Once your hand's up, you can put it down. Is there anyone else? Say, yeah, that's me. One person's already put their hand up. Is there anyone else? Say, yeah, I want a relationship with God. I want salvation. I want freedom. I want to be known as a son or a daughter of God. I want the Spirit of God to be with me every day and Jesus to be with me every day, dwelling in my heart. Is there anyone else? Say, yeah, that's me. If you're online, you respond to this as well. This is for you, right where you are. Say, yeah, that's me. Just as our eyes are closed this morning, you know, maybe you haven't put your hand up, but in your heart, you're like, yeah, I truly want to respond to this. You know, in Romans 10, verse 9, it says this, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So whether your hand has gone up or it hasn't this morning, that's besides the point. What really matters is, if you truly believe, declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, sorry, that he's Lord, you'll be saved. So this morning, just as our eyes are closed, I want to invite each and every single one of us. We're going to pray a prayer together. If you don't know him personally or you've walked your own way, pray this prayer with us this morning. If you're watching online, pray this prayer of salvation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross, you were buried, and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. From this day, I choose to follow you. I surrender my life, I repent of my sin, and I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you've prayed it again because you're perhaps off in your own way, I just want to encourage you, that's worth celebrating. So can we put our hands together as a church and celebrate that this morning? Awesome. You know, if you're watching online, I just want to encourage you. This isn't it. This is just the beginning for your salvation. If you're in this room, this isn't it. This is the beginning. And so you can, if you're watching online, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. And there's a whole lot of information about what you need to do now. If you're in this room, you can pick up that booklet on the way out, or you can go to the website, whatever works for you. But I want to encourage you that it doesn't stop here. This is the start of everything that God has for you.